Welcome to Hashtag Finance Master, a weekly show where Anders Leo Lindberg discusses the latest trends in finance and accounting with a global audience via LinkedIn audio. Recorded live, anyone can tune in and take part. Just raise your hand and share the stage. Will you join Anders next time? For now, kick back, relax, and enjoy this week's show.
Welcome to today's show. Today's topic is the role of sustainability in the finance function, and probably a topic that many of you are part of somehow, somewhere, some way in what you're doing, either in your career or in your life. So I think it's a topic we can all relate to, but also a topic that there's a lot of debate and discussions going on still in terms of how it's going to shape, define, and impact our world going forward. Of course, here in the Hashtag Finance Master show, we only discuss the finance function. So that's what we're going to zoom in on. All right, let's get going. ESG, of course, broader than just sustainability. ESG should mean value creation. But does it? In today's show, we'll assess how being part of the finance function of the future means being ideally placed to deliver value through sustainability. So the question is, can finance play a more prominent role in promoting sustainability as a driver of value within the organizations? One of the most important choices a company can make these days is to take sustainability seriously, because the private sector has a crucial role to play. Even if you are a nonprofit or a public organization, there are also a lot of roles to play. Credible corporate action towards ESG is not only vital for the planet, but also can be a positive value creator for the company. The finance function plays a critical role, yet it's often overlooked in corporate sustainability. And to be finance function 5.0 ready, which is the broader topic here, means leaders need a proactive and positive approach towards ESG considerations, which can't happen effectively until finance is playing a core role. So how can we do this? By driving value creation in a way that benefits both the company and society as a whole. I can imagine in many corporate boardrooms and finance teams, sustainability and ESG in a wider context is being seen mostly as reporting requirement. Oh, it's something we got to do to be compliant. Maybe we should try to do something for the greater good because talents would want to come and so on. But almost regardless, most would see it as a cost. And if we cannot break that paradigm, we're not going to make meaningful progress on the ESG agenda. That's why ESG equal value creation is a very important equation to solve. Finance, as I said, plays a critical role. So how do we build a sustainable future with finance function 5.0? Finance plays arguably the biggest role as the gatekeeper of resources. This means that there is also an important role to play in embedding sustainable strategies and actions into the culture and fabric of the organization. It requires long-term thinking and a longer time horizon to reap the benefits, but it's possible to balance those with more short-term financial goals. In this way, finance is able to balance priorities and benefit all stakeholders by asking critical questions about each initiative and how it will contribute to sustainability and generate value for the company. This kind of oversight brings reporting and strategy together under one roof. The question simply to ask is, how does this make us more sustainable? And how do we create value from it? If you can't get a good answer, then there is no moving ahead on the project. What do you think about this? Does it make sense? Or is it too idealistic? Do you see the finance function playing a critical role in driving value creation through ESG? At the end of the day, it's all about taking action, making the move from purely reporting to getting things done. Because sustainability is not just about reporting on ESG metrics. We've got to do that. We can't get around it, especially if you're subject to the CSRD reporting that's coming in from next year. At some point, you probably will be, regardless of the size of your company. But it's also about helping the executive team to talk and think about sustainability in a proactive, cheatingly influential way that allows it to become part of the culture. The critical question Finance Function 5.0 needs to ask of each project or initiative is, will it contribute to overall sustainability and generate value wider or second order value for the company? And of course, it's not just about the company. It's also for the wider stakeholder landscape. We call it society in a more broad sense. So there's a lot more to it than just the company. Helping other functions think about the answer to this question and how the message is promoted is a key action to take. This is, of course, all good from a tactical and maybe even strategical point of view. But what we really want to do is make sustainability part of the DNA of the company. Understanding the strategic big picture when it comes to ESG is vital to making it part of your DNA. What does this mean? Being value-driven when it comes to sustainability means being able not only to report on key metrics, but characterize those metrics to show the value added. For instance, human resources and hiring managers might thank you for being able to demonstrate real actions to reduce the company's carbon footprint, for example, by creating incentives for employees to use sustainable forms of transportation to get into the office, or funding an enhanced cycle to work scheme or biking to work scheme. Why would HR pat you on the back? Well, according to a recent survey, nearly 40% of millennials said they have chosen a job because of company sustainability. If a promising candidate chooses your firm because of your approach to ESG, that's a win, while at the same time benefiting the environment. Now, it's not 100% altruistic. I mean, the companies still have to make money. They still have to make a return. You know, there's no two ways around that, at least not in the current way the world is set up. So we got to find a way to benefit all the bottom lines that we can think about. Finance Function 5.0 is about connecting the strands and pulling them together to drive positive change. So we need to go from reporting the numbers to taking action, but there's a step in between, and that's to communicate the narrative. Both what do we want to do and what do we plan to get out of it, and of course, later on, communicating the success stories. Interestingly, according to Deloitte, most Gen Zs and millennials, over 89%, that's a compelling number, admit they're at least making some effort to reduce their impact on the environment. However, only less than 20% of Gen Zs, and even fewer millennials, believe their employers are committed to addressing climate change. Isn't that a great opportunity for companies? So you can be in the top quintile of companies, leveraging your ESG actions to attract talent. If employees are choosing companies that promote sustainability, then it's a strong value creation opportunity, isn't it? Likewise, savvy consumers make choices about using your products and services. And of course, there's been a lot of greenwashing going on in the recent 5 to 10 years. Today, I think we are seeing fewer greenwashing cases. And why is that? It's because we get more and more transparency on how much they have reduced their carbon footprint, how much they have increased diversity and inclusion and equity, how much they're working on these things and the results that they're getting. And it's publicly available. Even if you're a non-listed company, but you have a certain size, you would publish your sustainability report or ESG report. I'm not sure what we call it these days. In the old days, we called it the corporate social responsibility report. I think it has definitely evolved since then. But companies that are taking real action are also eager to communicate that narrative, both internally, but also externally. Finance Function 5.0 means it's time for finance leaders to go through their business and project portfolio and make plans for real change, as well as collaborate with internal and external communication to share the mission and vision far and wide. These could be ideas and actions for reducing carbon emissions, increasing the usage of renewable energy, improving supply chain transparency, or ensuring ethical labor practices, and a lot more, let's just be real. The aim should be to make everything the company does more sustainable, and this requires a company-wide commitment and culture of sustainability. What do you think? Are there some good examples from your company where finance has led the way in ESG? Come on the stage, let us know. Feel free to raise your hand, come up on stage, and share or ask questions. I have Miranda on stage. Welcome. Feel free to unmute yourself and give an introduction and then share your perspective.
Anders, I'm Miranda Kennedy, and I solve problems for marginalized members of our community. My goal is to bring their issues and problems from the margins to the middle of boardroom tables. And so seeking a board position here on LinkedIn, and I'm taking advantage of wonderful audio rooms like this one you're hosting here to prepare myself for board tables. So thank you. Thank you for this audio room. And so my question is, for a new person joining a board, what would be like the three primary roles you'd like me to focus on as it relates to sustainability and finance?
A great question, Miranda, and what a wonderful mission you have. Thanks a lot for coming up and sharing about that. Of course, I come at things from a finance perspective, right? So there might be other perspectives that you need to consider. For me, I would definitely look at what activities the company is doing today and challenge leadership team on, you know, how is this contributing to sustainability? And of course, also wider on, let's say, the SNG in an ESG. Ask them, how are you actually measuring this? How are you factoring this into your business cases? How can I see this in your strategy? And then ask them to bring concrete examples to the table where they have considered this and see, how did it go? What were the outcomes? Did it create value? What did we learn from it? And how can we use it moving forward? I think it's really coming in and challenging the existing structures and promoting that we can actually create value, even though taking action on ESG hasn't been part of our DNA up until now. So I think there's definitely ESG as a central topic in boardrooms today. So people will be listening willingly to new perspectives on this. So I think it's a great time to have this mission and trying to bring that into the boardroom.
There's always the what's the benefit to the company as a whole, as well as to the stakeholders, and walking that fine line of doing what's best for the company and still adhering to the economic and social governances that are so prevalent and so at like the forefront of everyone's thinking at this time. And so what does that balance look like?
I think it's a perfectly fair point to say, okay, what are the benefits? And of course, there are many. We talked here in the show today about the talent agenda, right? So there's a huge war for talent going on today and companies really wanting to ensure their future by getting the right people on board. And taking action on ESG is, as we can hear from also some of these studies as well, that's important to the millennials and the Gen Zs of today's workforce. And they are making up probably the biggest part of the workforce today. So not taking action means that you will be missing out on a lot of talent. And if you don't have the right talent, you don't have the right capabilities to execute what you want to do as a company. I think there is also business model transformation. It depends, of course, on the industry that you're in. We have, for instance, a Danish company called Ørsted. I know it's a bit probably difficult to pronounce if not Danes, but they used to be an oil and gas company. Today, they're a green energy company, mostly in the windmill sector. Still have a few gas power plant, but the rest is no longer part of the business. And they've done this over a period of less than 10 years, which is truly incredible. So I think if you're sitting in the boardroom, look at your business model. Ask yourself, is this sustainable? Not for the next 2-3 years, maybe not even for the next 5 years, but for the next decade and beyond. Because if it's not, the company's going to struggle and you might be having to make some drastic choices in a short time frame. So better to act now than postpone. Even though I'm sure short-term wise, there are things you can do that might deliver a better bottom line.
Are you currently serving on any boards? And if so, can you give us an example or like another example of how you've had to like be the voice of sustainability for a company?
So I don't currently serve on any boards in which I could sort of serve in this capacity, but I'd say in our own company, where I'm a part owner, for instance, when we look at the hiring process, I mean, whenever I get the chance, I definitely promote diversity. Not because I need to get a certain gender balance or I need to get people of different cultures and nationality, but because I need to get diversity of thought. And that just comes from looking at all these other metrics. So if we're looking at a candidate pipeline, and let's just say there are 7 males and only 1 female, simple metrics, of course, I definitely ask, what can we do better to get a more diverse candidate pipeline? Because it just helps us create a better company. So I would try to be a voice for this as much as I can. But again, I am coming from a finance function point of view. So I'm not the most educated, so to speak, on these matters. So I just try my best as a business leader.
I think it's really interesting how we need to know a little bit about everything. We have our expertise, the subject matters that we are experts in, But then the requirement to know a little bit about all of these things, about governance, about our society, about economy, about finance, about like the whole of a company, I think that is so important. And I think that audio rooms like this one, like yours, helps us to gain a little bit of knowledge about a variety of different things that are essentially important to the company, but knowing that it's a board, right? It's a group of people and all these thoughts come together and together decisions, like excellent questions are asked and really good decisions are made to maintain the viability and the health of the company. And I agree with you completely that this diversity in thought is very essential. And that diversity in thought does come from having a variety of different people with a variety of different backgrounds and expertise in a variety of different subject matters. So yes, absolutely agreed. Thank you for the opportunity to ask you some questions.
Thank you, Lorinda, for coming up and sharing your thoughts here and asking questions. We truly appreciate that. It's been 2.5 months probably since I launched Finance Function 5.0. It's, of course, coined based on Industry 5.0, which has also only recently been launched by the EU Commission, I believe. So it's a new paradigm for work, but also a new paradigm for the finance function. And it's really early days, I would say, on this. And a lot more work is needed to get these thoughts out. So I'm probably seen as a progressive thinker today. I hope in a few years, working in these ways and thinking about these topics will be normal. We have Aslan on stage now. Feel free to unmute, introduce yourself, and share your perspectives.
Hello, Anders. Thanks for bringing me up to the podium. I'm Aslan from the United States, and I'm really happy that I am here to talk about the role of sustainability in finance. And now I want to mention a couple of points. Actually, sustainability has significant implications for the finance function beyond reporting requirements and increased costs. So I want to mention a few ways in which sustainability intersects with the finance function. One of them, in my opinion, is cost efficiency. That sustainable practices usually lead to cost saving in the long run. I mean, for example, using energy efficient measures may reduce or can reduce the utility expenses, while optimizing supply chains can improve actually the operational efficiency and reduce waste. And the other thing, in my opinion, is the innovation and growth. So sustainability can, I would say, drive innovation and open new business opportunities. Finance professionals can contribute by analyzing the financial potential of sustainable projects and developing business cases and assigning resources to support sustainable innovation. So in general, the finance function has a critical role to play in embracing sustainability into the core business strategy. So this was a couple of points I wanted to come here and share with you. Thanks again, Anders.
Thanks a lot for sharing these points, Lana. I completely agree with you. I was participating in an event a few weeks back with an outsourcing provider within the predominantly in the IT space, I would say. And they definitely also showcased a lot of great numbers in terms of how they have been able to run things more efficiently, whereby, you know, saving power, saving electricity, saving emissions, and getting some real cost savings. So it speaks exactly to what you mentioned here, Aslan. So I truly, truly appreciate you sharing those examples as well. And how great is it to have such a diverse, let's say, a group of speakers up here on the stage today, right? So no finance people, but we're hearing from different voices and, you know, voices that I think we should listen to also in the finance function. I don't think that it comes natural to us to be ESG leaders, but because the ESG reporting would typically fall into the finance function, I think that's a role we should take, and we should take the responsibility for thinking beyond reporting. If we cannot do that, then someone else will do it. And all we will be left with is a ton of work that we don't feel is a lot of value adding. So Really appreciate Aslan and Miranda coming up to the stage today. We are now finished with the Five Finance Function 5.0 topic in this show here, but I'm sure that a lot more content will come out on it. Next week, I will be rounding off for a year of the hashtag Finance Master show. So I'll be reviewing a bit, you know, what are some of the topics we've gone through? What has the experience been like to actually have this show here? How's it going with the podcast and everything else? So thanks a lot, everyone, and see you next week.
You've been listening to Hashtag Finance Master, a weekly show recorded live on LinkedIn Audio. Don't forget to subscribe to stay updated on the latest trends in finance and accounting. And why not join Anders every Thursday on LinkedIn to share your own views and appear in the next episode?